This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI. On WEEI.
Alex Van Pelt today. Media availability. I thought he did okay, considering, you know, all things considered. I thought he answered his questions in a reasonable way. I didn't think that was a terrible answer. The KJ Osborne one we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
But I thought that one there about sort of looking inward and it's time for everybody to kind of grow up here, I thought that was all true. And, you know, if people are frustrated, we're 1-6, we're losing. This is when these things sort of happen. Stock answers, I'd say, but
yes.
What do you expect him to say? You know, like, what's he going to say?
But can I ask a question?
He didn't make it worse.
So I have no idea what's going on, but in Carolina where it's 1-6, is this happening? Like, all of this crap happening? And I don't know the answer. I'm not saying it isn't or is. I have no idea.
They benched their quarterback, their second-year, first overall pick quarterback, like 4 weeks into the season. So I'd say it's not going great there.
But is everybody bitching about it on social media, asking for trade? Like, I'm talking about
no
the
idea.
Crap.
I really don't know.
I don't care about the on-field.
Mm-hmm.
I continue to say the on-field, to me, is irrelevant. I expected them to suck. I could assess the roster in May, June, and July. You're not talented. You weren't going to win games. That is not the issue. The issue is everything that's going on around the team, in the locker room, with supposed leaders and veterans and players and social media. That is the absolute poop show that is going to get somebody fired. I don't think anyone would ever even talk about Gerard Mayo being fired, for the record. Everybody expected the record, maybe
right. Except
him, because he promised more wins. But
sure. I mean, it's also not so much the record, but how they're losing some of these games. Like, they're getting their ass handed to them. Like,
sure.
It's not just, oh, they came up short this week. It's they shouldn't be on the field. They're getting embarrassed out there. And
okay.
That's something that's
so you happen. Do think on-field is a factor in the firing
to an
talk.
Extent, yes. To an
I
extent.
Don't th- I think
to
it's
an extent.
Zero. I think it's 100% about he can't do a press conference without backtracking. He is saying dumb stuff. He has no leadership value. The team is a mess. The leaders are a mess. The social media is a mess. I think it's all that crap, and I haven't. Now, Cleveland's
if they were losing all these games the way they lost that Seattle game, for example, like a close one-score game, if that's what you saw these last couple of weeks, even with all the walking back and all the guys bitching and moaning and all that, I still think it would be a little less harsh than it is right now.
Yeah, but
I don't think that it would be turned up this much talking about him losing his job. I just don't think we'd be there.
Yeah, I think this is all about all the other stuff. Because then maybe we could actually fixate on your two-point conversion that you hated. Maybe we could have done...
I did not care for that two-point conversion.
But if all this other stuff wasn't happening, if the culture wasn't a mess and all this, maybe we would have been picking apart. And maybe he'd be getting the other question, which popped up this week. Taylor Kyles, sneaky aggressive.
Mm.
Hey, coach, you going to start coaching at any point on the sideline?
Have you given any thought to coaching the team at some point this season?
He's like, I didn't have on my bingo card Taylor Kyles coming off the top rope with a Macho Man elbow onto Gerard Mayo coming.
But super fly Jimmy Snuka up there.
That stuff is getting sort of overwhelmed by Osborne and Booty and all this other stuff. And so I just, like, Tennessee, there. They're 1-5. Is this all happening in Tennessee? Their quarterback stinks, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's similar to Carolina. You have a new coach. Your quarterback stinks. You might have football issues. Are we selling? We're trading DeAndre Hopkins. All these other... Actually, it did kind of happen there, because what's-his-name was popping off. Your boy, Ridley.
Ridley was popping
off. That was like 2 weeks
ago.
That's
true. He was. And it doesn't seem like it's going great there. I don't think it's going great with any of these bad teams. Any team that's one win, two wins, I think they're all sort of going through it to different degrees. I think it's probably worse here. But I have a theory about this. I have a theory about why these wide receivers are behaving this way and how this all went down. And it didn't occur to me. If you didn't hear it, by the way, Kayshon Booty told Mass Live, he said, "I get frustrated when I'm not getting thrown the ball, knowing that I've caught every ball that's thrown to me. So I just feel like I'd always go to the sideline and demand the ball. So whether it's the deep ball, I asked for that. Texans game, I asked for that. So now I feel like I shouldn't really have to ask." Okay, Kayshon, you got it, buddy. 10 career receptions in 2 years, whatever it is. KJ Osborne asked if he was wanted a trade, said, "Oh, that's an alley-oop," basically, saying, "Sure, I'd like a trade." Pop Douglas at points this year said he wasn't getting the ball enough. Who else am I missing? There was another one. Was it Thornton? Thornton said something?
Thornton had one, and
yeah. Even...
The Osborne message usage preparation thing.
Right. Okay. So all
there's
of that's going
on. There's a lot of layers
to it. There's a lot of layers to this. And here's what I think happened. And it didn't occur to me until I saw that. And it took a while to really even compute. KJ Osborne's Instagram post. Because whether or not that guy's his agent, that's someone who has some influence in his life enough mm-hmm. that he would post a text exchange with him, and you know, maybe he didn't negotiate his deal or whatever, but he's a guy in his inner circle. And just, if you missed it, this is what that that post said. It was a message from his friend or agent or something, and it reads as follows. Being proud of you is an understatement. From being told you would be inactive Wednesday and only taking 3 reps all week in practice, to being told you're activated at 11 on a Saturday night, facepalm emoji, and going in the game at another position across the world in London, you held your composure and did what a pro does. You're a true pro, K. I love you with my all, K. Never change who you are. You are truly special. God always got to stay down and keep working. I'm with you while we figure out the situation and every other. No matter, you can count on me till the end. Now, I read that. And obviously, he's part of KJ Osborne's inner circle, so he's trying to big him up. But I started thinking about all of these guys and their agents. And what do you think the agents said to them coming into this season? They said, you know what? You got a rookie quarterback here, or at some point he's going to be coming in. But it's really either going to be him or Jacoby Brissett, someone who's going to be able to give you the ball, we think. And you're the best receiver in this room. Look around. You're better than all these guys. Jalen Polk's agent, you're better than all these guys. You're a second-round pick. These guys are all sixth-round picks. Kendrick Bourne was undrafted. These guys are nothing compared to you. You're the man. You're the one who should be out there getting all the balls. You're the one who should be getting all the targets. You're the one who should be getting all the touchdowns and the yards and blah, 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 and everything else. And they all believed it. Because they probably looked around and thought the same thing. Like, yeah, you're right. These guys all do suck. I am good compared to these guys. I could be the man in this wide receiver room. How come I'm not? How come I'm not getting the ball? Why isn't this going the way I thought it would? I thought that I was going to stand out from these guys. I know I'm better than this guy. I know I'm better than that guy. If they would just throw me the ball, then I could show them. I'll be the best wide receiver on this team. Blah, 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 blah. They all were told that, I think. I think that was something that got said to each and every one of them some way or another through their agent or maybe through a wide receivers coach or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And they all believed it. And now it's not happening for any of them. They're all sort of putting up these measly, crappy numbers, which, by the way, no wide receivers have put up good numbers here in 3 years now. And they're all pissed off. And on some level, I think, you know, you can't buy into your own crap all that much. But on another level, I think these guys should be looking around the rest of that room and thinking, I'm better than these guys. I should be getting the ball more. That's not like when Van Pelt today was saying it's good that they all want the ball. I kind of agreed with that part of it. They shouldn't be acting like this, but they're young, kind of immature guys, and this is just how they're expressing themselves. It's not good, but on some level, I can kind of relate to that idea. They should stop. They should stop and just worry about winning games and catching passes, and Jalen Polk's instance in particular. I mean, to worry about catching the ball here before you pop off anymore. But don't you think that's probably what was said to them? Don't you think that's probably how this was all presented this year? Like, you could be the man this year if you just, you know, go out there and play, and none of them can get the ball. I mean, that's really what it is.
Absolutely. And that's what I was saying yesterday about the lack of any elite talent creates a void, and people think, oh, I can fill that void. Absolutely. The issue for me, though, is I'm with Alex Van Pelt. They should all be disappointed. Mm-hmm. They should all think they're better than they're performing, and they should all want more catches and opportunities. And we're struggling. I'm the one who can take us out of the struggles.
Right.
Not publicly. I'd actually be, you know, this is going to sound weird. I'd actually be okay if we got whispers that the receivers are all kind of complaining behind the scenes that they want more targets. Isn't that how it always works?
Sure.
Like, somebody hears it because they're saying it to their teammate. They're saying it to their agent. They're mm-hmm. saying it to their mom, whoever. These guys are all saying it publicly or doing it on social media.
Yeah.
That's my issue. I think that's the issue with Jerod Mayo. And you said it earlier. They don't fear. They don't respect. Whatever that lacking aspect of that relationship is absolutely missing, because receivers want the ball, and when there aren't good players, you know, to some degree, it's no different than Ridley. He's paid like a number one. I need the damn ball. Sure. I'm not getting targets. They all have reasons to believe they should be getting
Steph
targets.
Steph Diggs was getting 150 targets a year, and he was still bitching that he wanted more on that Buffalo team, yeah.
But the one in Buffalo was like, it was weird, and he's Steph Diggs. Then I even have to accept, well, he has been our number one receiver for three years now, whatever. These guys, if I heard stories about this, unnamed sources, behind the scenes, blah, 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 that's one thing. Why are they so comfortable and emboldened to just do it publicly all the time? That's the question.
Good question. 617-779-7937. Ryan's in Boston. Go ahead, Ryan.
What's up, guys? Hey, I'm not going to pretend to be a master of the English language. I swing a hammer all day, but this is not exactly what a mutiny is. I mean, talking out of turn, all this. You know, the old regime, in some ways, you're both married, so just hold on to this one for a second. Belichick was like the ultimate Dutch oven. He just encapsulated all the crap that everybody just fought it out.
Gross.
And you didn't hear anything out. Nothing ever seeped out of Gillette because you had him. Now you get rid of him, you see what's going on.
Yeah, sort of. Stuff got out. Stuff got out while he was there. He put stuff out there. You know, like the Brady.
I think he just really wanted to see Dutch Oven.
I think
on
he
the
did.
Air.
He did, and that was a okay use of Dutch
like
Oven,
it.
I guess.
I mean, it makes sense, but I think that's really what he was aiming for.
It was his objective.
That was probably
say
what he
Dutch
was
Oven
going
and
for
us to accept it.
He would put stuff out there. Brady's people would put stuff out there. The Gronkowski's would put stuff out there. Like people got their message out
and
there.
And if you weren't on that level, you were gone.
Yeah, and also these last 3 years, it was going on all the time. Mac Jones and Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne, everybody was coming out and saying whatever they wanted pretty much all the time with little consequence. I know Bourne got benched a bit, and eventually Matt got benched too. But those guys, I mean, listen, you didn't lose anything from that, and the team was a crap show anyway, which is something that gets forgotten here when Bill Belichick and his merry band of Patriots haters on the podcast over there at Underdog start talking. They had a lot to say on the latest episode, and you'd almost forget that they were a 4-win team last year with all these guys. Well, not all of them, but certainly with Bill at the head of the thing. We'll get to that. The latest Bill's revenge tour, and is this actually helping him when it comes to future prospects for a job? We'll get to all that next.